So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush.
Food. Food. I have not eaten for days.
And who says you will?
Give me food to have strength when the wolves come. Let me die not in hunger.
Hello?
Don't say nothing.
Holy moly, what was that?
Who are
you? We're playing the show intro.
I am Subutai.
Don't say anything.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what that explosion was there.
I am Harkanian, the great order of Kerlet.
So what are you doing here?
Dinner for wolves.
Oh, Droops came in. Hold on, Droops.
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up. Link it up. And take it away. Take it away.
Episode 100, yeah! Woo.
The Linux Link Tech Show, episode 100.
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Wow, things sure do progress over time. And one of the best progressions we've made is the nightly beverage. I mean, hey, in order to have a good show, you really have to loosen up a little, right? Oh, lean back.
Beer and see if it explodes.
No, you don't want to do beer. We want to all lean back and have a nice
Dan brings
cold
up beers for him, but like nobody else.
We want a nice cold.
Did you want a beer?
I figured you would because you were driving, and then I didn't know. I thought Link might have drove. He never drove.
Yeah.
Did you want a beer?
I could have had a beer. And
did you want a beer? Do you want a beer?
Yeah, why not?
You want me to get you a beer?
Yeah.
I had to start drinking. That was at 5 o'clock today. I'm almost through the whole case. It's ice brewed. Ice filtered. Ice filtered.
I just want to say that I don't feel that it's right.
Oh, no, we do have beer for this show. And the beer for the night has already been drunk. It was pretty good.
What are you talking about? I have alcohol.
Prophecy.
This is like more last minute than the time Dan showed up there looking up. You remember that? The man gets a couple of beers in him. It's all downhill after that.
Beers in me. That's a problem.
I'm
not going to be drunk. They're
I'm down for getting hammered.
There, tiki bar.
They're going to be pissed drunk.
Tiki bar, yeah.
They're British, man. They drink like fish.
A tiki bar run. All right.
Those Brits, man, they drink like fish.
It'll be our celebration for Lug Radio.
I like the way how Pat standed up so he could give the beer the chair.
Yeah, there you go.
He's giving the chair. Got to have priorities.
And what's tonight's beer of choice there, gentlemen?
This is a local beer from a brewery here in eastern Pennsylvania called Weyerbacher. And the brew that we are drinking is called Blithering Idiot.
Weyerbacher beer.
It's a barley wine.
I thought you were going to give me one of them.
Want one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. So, yes, in fact,
hello.
For your listening pleasure and information, we at the
Linux
Tech Show.
Well, I think I can hear people. Can anybody hear me?
Like most other Linux people.
I can hear Marcel. Hey, John.
Sure.
All right, John.
Did I kill the conversation?
We just found out that the beer we're drinking is 11.1%
alcohol. It's an idiot connection.
Now I know why I feel the way I do, man.
And somewhere in the midst of all that beer, we stopped, paused, and looked around, and then there were four.
Well, we got a guest tonight.
That's not me.
Another guest tonight.
You're a guest, too.
Actually, Patrick's not really a guest.
Patrick's like luggage, man.
He's been an integral to the show for some time now. He's actually like the fourth member of the show.
You know, like
the guy who just doesn't show up.
You get luggage, and you know, you ever get luggage once, and then it follows you around for 700 years, and you could be like going, 40 years later, you're still carrying around that 1965.
It's like catching a venereal disease while you're on vacation. Bring it home. You can't get rid of it.
It's just always there.
Patrick comes over with some good beer, and he's the reason why we'll have Marcel on the show tonight. And you know what's even better?
What's that?
It's free.
It's free, yes.
What's that?
Free,
yes.
Yeah, dude, that's what's great about Pat. He arranges all the guests. He brings
going
the
just
beer.
Fine time.
Hey, man, I don't,
he even talks.
I don't mind supporting the local economy.
Kid, right?
No, wait a minute. He does all three of those things. What does Alan do?
I bring equipment.
Alan
bought the mixer. If you're talking about coming on the show as a guest, Pat is all up and down your leg, man.
You want to throw some
He's like a horny dog just humping on you.
When do you want to come on? Can I call you? Will you call me?
Can I call you?
Skype.
Oh, give me
your home phone number. Can I call your children, too? Your wife?
That's right.
Your friends? Bring them all on the show. I tell you, but you know, without Pat, we wouldn't have any guests.
No shit.
Now, our growth has been pretty tremendous. Our downloads are up 300% since October of 2004, and our hits are up 400% since October of 2004. So we're growing.
You have way too much time on your hands, don't you?
So now we should expect to see those downloads go down as our audio quality.
We're gonna plummet.
Down.
They're actually going up every.
No, they keep tuning in to hear it. To hear if it gets any better.
It gets any
week,
better,
you know?
Yeah.
And with Pat's help, we interviewed some really cool guests.
Hello.
Oh, Marcel. Good day.
Hello.
Fantastic.
Good evening, Marcel.
How you keeping?
All right, yourself?
Doing fine.
This is fantastic.
We're here with Matt Friedman with Novell. I'm not Zimian.
Yep.
Were you there with the Helix? Vice President?
I found Zimian, Helix Code / International GNOME Support. So, yeah, I've been there since the beginning.
How's it going, Doc?
Going well. Doing well. How do I sound?
Sounds excellent.
Sounds fantastic.
That's good. I guess the little built-in mic, I guess, is doing the job.
Hey, guys.
Warren.
Third down your stairs.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin, how are you? This is Pat from the Linux Link Tech Show. How are you?
Hi, good.
I'm nervous.
Hello, Richard Stallman here.
Hey, Richard, this is Dan Washko from the GNU Linux Link Tech Show. How are you doing?
Back.
Ian, how are you? This is
Ian.
This is Pat from the Linux Link Tech Show with Dan and Link.
Oh, hey, guys.
How are you tonight?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Great.
Hi, this is Pat from the Linux and Tech Show, and we're talking to Leah Laporte from the TwitCast, formerly of the Screensavers and Call for Help, currently on Call for Help Canada, on Tech TV in Canada. Leah, thanks for coming on. This is a real, real big honor to talk to you.
My pleasure. So hard to start. Sorry, it was so hard to get a hold of it.
I hope this works,
though. I hope so, too.
Hello?
Eric!
Yeah.
It's Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. How are you?
I'm fine, but you are a little distorted.
Oh, well, a lot of people say that about me, actually.
Hi, John.
Hey there.
All right, John Buckman from Magnitudes.
All right.
Are you the founder?
I am the founder. I am the one. Magnitudes, c'est moi.
Excellent.
And though opinions may differ, I believe we've finally put an end to the age-old question. How do you say that?
Debian.
Yeah, Debian. Well, we can run Exxon.
Debian. Especially like Debian, which tends to patch a lot.
But things like Debian, like you said, Debian patches heavily.
Debian's defense.
Good Debian. I looked at possibly just installing in a vanilla Debian.
It's Debian, man. If you don't call it Debian, I get hate mail from new people.
Ah, screw them.
I once again did a Debian install on a Spark 20 just the other day. And it's been incorrect for a
while.
And
it's, what is it? Debian, right? Debian.
Yeah.
Debian. Your love affair with Debian.
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 Ian Murdoch from Debian. is coming out too.
Gonna make sure you say that when we talk.
Debian, not Debian. Like, you know, we all pick on it and call it Debian. It's really Debian. And after a solid 2 years and 100 episodes, we're all still having a really great time. And we just hope that you'll stick around and catch the next 100 with us here on the Linux Link Tech Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up, and take it away. Take it away.
Wow. I don't know. It sounds like it's just you.
Show 100.
We have Pat.
Oh, and there you have it. The 10-minute episode 100 clip, folks.
Now
everybody.
Well, that hurt.
You know, hell's breaking loose in the back.
Dave's kids are killing each other.
I don't know. The little one came up the stairs screaming, looking right into the room like
somebody's knocking
on
the door.
All right. So on the asterisk, we have John Watson from the GNU Linux Tech Linux User Show.
Hey!
You there, John?
Oh, great.
No?
Mine at least is staying up at this moment.
John's missing an action.
Oh, wait, I muted myself.
I can't hear us.
Hello? Do you guys hear us
back
now?
Hey, we're back now.
Yeah,
actually, we've been talking about you for like 5 minutes now, but Dan was on mute, so, you know.
Talking trash.
We have John.
Talking trash.
Yeah, I think we've covered the whole show, you know, while everybody went away there.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have John Watson from the GNU Linux User Show. Thank you, John.
Hey!
And Marcel. Marcel Gagne.
GNU John, yeah, that's right.
From Cooking with Linux and Linux Journal, and 4 wonderful books. The latest one is the second edition of...
And a whole bunch of other things, but yes.
A whole bunch of other things. And also...
Evening.
Infonomicon's infamous Droops.
Droops.
Hey!
You still there, Droops?
Hey, guys.
There he is.
I'm still here.
You got power?
Hey.
It's good to be infamous.
And Droops, if you don't know Infonomicon, wonderful podcast member of the tech... Tech podcast network. And he does
actually have a potty mouth just like y'all do.
Yeah, he does a show with Kevin Rose, right?
Southern accent.
No, he does a wonderful
show.
Yeah,
me and Kevin Rose hang out.
What's up with that?
How come we haven't got Kevin on tonight?
Because Droop scared him away. He's got this thing for Kevin. I don't know. Droops, can you explain that? What's up with that?
I just don't like him. You're going to have to listen to Infonomicon to find
out.
And
there you have it in a nutshell, folks.
And, you know,
I had the same kind of relationship with another host of another Linux show that was popular way back in the day.
But Kevin Rose isn't a host of a Linux show, is he?
No.
He
used to be on the Screensavers, and now he does he's on the Twitcast, and he also has the Dignation podcast.
Wow.
And he also does, what's the other one, the Broken, and also System.
Does a lot. Puts us to shame.
Yeah.
Puts me to shame.
Well, you know, it's because we keep waiting on Dan to get all this stuff together. Sits over there.
Wait a long time. Now, Marcel, you're on Call for Help, is that it?
I am, yeah. I do a couple of shows a month on Call for Help with Leo Laporte and company there, which, by the way, Call for Help is now playing in the States again. So
since last week.
So for a little... What's that?
Since last week.
It started last week, did it?
Yep.
All right. Well, on average, I'm not there all the time, but I'm there like a couple of times a month. I do a couple of shows a month on Call for Help. And it's a lot of fun. It's actually taped here in Toronto.
Are they paying you for that?
No, that's why I only show up a couple times a month.
Oh, because I was going to say, I mean, if they're not paying you for that, like, we had you on here first, so we should have dibs.
Right. Well, you guys don't pay me either. So.
Well, that's just it. I mean, if you're offering, you know, free hosting and, you know, that kind of stuff, you should, you know, consider popping on the tech show more often.
Ah, okay.
I mean, what's
you know, I never just drop in. I wait for invitations, though. You know, I wait until somebody invites me, but I don't just drop in. You know, I'm that kind of guy.
Standing invitation. There you go. It'll be the Marcel is cooking with the tech show. Thing, right?
The
got disaster written all over it.
Yeah, the Marcel moving to Linux kiss Windows goodbye show.
That's right.
I'm doing my part for the cause. How about you guys?
Oh yeah.
Earlier on, I pasted this link in the channel, but earlier on we were talking about the idea that, you know, there's a disaster relief website out there, you know, that people can sign up for, people who have been caught in the Hurricane Katrina disaster. They can sign up for assistance, but to sign up for assistance, you have to be running Internet Explorer 6. Anyone who's running anything else need not apply, and that includes Linux users, Mac users, and presumably people still running Windows 95. It's pretty sad, I tell you.
The people that can afford to spend thousands of dollars on Windows software can afford to donate? Is that the logic, maybe?
No, it's when you register for assistance. So, like, if you're poor and can't afford anything, you can't even get any if you don't run IE6.
So you got to go to local. You got to go to a local library to run Windows.
Most libraries can't even afford to have IE6 installed, you know?
I should post that that scary MSNBC link back in the IRC channel for the people that haven't looked at it yet.
Oh yeah,
do it up.
Go for it.
Well, there is a plus. The Red Cross website, Firefox works like a charm. So, you know, people, please go out and donate redcross.org.
Mm-hmm. This isn't for donating though. This is you know, for the people that need assistance that want to register for assistance.
The FEMA site is just a relief there.
The problem is that's a government site.
That's the plan. If you need assistance, some relief, give it to you. But if you
want relief,
give
run Windows.
Or
that's
money,
what FEMA is telling you right there.
Yeah, there's been some chats, some discussions about that on my lug, my Wiftel lug channel there. Other people that have run into things like that. It's one of those things that gets into people's craw, I guess is a good way of putting it, on a regular basis. You run into websites where the only thing that you're allowed to use is Internet Explorer. Now, usually with something like Firefox or Conqueror, you can actually fool the website into thinking you're running IE. But, you know, that's not what you want to do. You just want to be able to surf.
Yeah, I've been to websites where it actually tells me that there's a browser error. Are you sure you want to continue, you know, with Conqueror or something? And I have to go yes, yes, yes about 3 times, and then finally it lets me through, and everything works just wonderfully.
I still like the sites where I sit there in Firefox, and they tell me that you can't get into this website unless you run an IE or Netscape.
Yeah.
We actually have some close to
either that, or they say something like, either that, or they say, get a better browser, and you say, well, I already do that.
Right.
That's how I got into this mess.
Hey, Droops. Droops.
So it's 100 shows. So congratulations, 100 years of the Linux Link Tech Show. That's fantastic.
Sure seems that way. I'll tell you.
Hey, Droops, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Hey, were you at all impacted by the hurricane? Because you're down in Mississippi.
Well, my parents and my wife's parents both live in around Baton Rouge, and they've been without electricity for a couple of days.
I was going to say, they still live around Baton Rouge?
Oh, no, they're good now. They were smart until, so it doesn't really flood.
Aha.
Now, does obfuscated,
that's the trick it sees.
Does Obfuscated still have a house?
I believe that he has a home. I went down to bring him some gas and some supplies. But he couldn't get his cell phone working, and we couldn't meet up. So I ended up making an 8-hour trip for naught. But I gave all the stuff away to other people, so it went to good use.
That's a nice guy.
There you go.
Seriously, man, driving 8 hours for his buddy.
Well, it'd be really nice if he'd, you know, waited for me and I'd actually met.
And you know what? Not only does Droops generously give of himself and his time, I mean, he's done a lot for the community. Been a member of DDP, and you've taken over hackradio.net, and offering hosting services for startup podcasts. I mean, fantastic, man. You do a hell of a job.
Man, you're so close. You are so close. I'm not a member of DDP, guys. It's hackermedia.net. And Podcast Incubator is a free people to put radio shows. And we're working on some PHP code to run the whole thing. And when it's done, we're going to give it out for anybody else that wants to start a site and have minimal work to do.
Awesome.
And my friend Fizzone's writing all the code, and I'm learning from it so that I can document it in such form.
You're not a member of DDP?
No, I'm just a friend.
Oh, I thought you were. My mistake.
So unlike the TED Podcast Network, you're actually hosting.
We're hosting, and it doesn't have to be a tech show. It can just be about anything.
Now, is it family friendly?
What's that?
Is it family friendly?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Nope. Is it family friendly?
No, it's not family friendly. It's the internet, and free speech is allowed on the internet. Last time I checked.
Now there's a statement: free speech is not family friendly.
It's not.
The occasional F bomb never hurt anybody.
You know what? My kid hears worse in school, seriously? And she's only in sixth grade, so seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. Now in Canada, they don't have foul language, do they?
No.
They have foul language.
Nope. Yeah, we've developed.
They clamp down on the TV shows from the border, so nothing comes up anymore. So, oh, we got her. You know,
it only
Bible
goes down.
Stuff up here.
Actually, I have a funny story about that. As some people might know, I'm French Canadian. I know with a name like Marcel Gagné, I know you thought I was Italian, but I'm French Canadian. And there was a professor at the unit. Flemish, yeah. There was a professor at the University of Languages, and specifically, he did a study that spanned several years and several different cultures on profanity. So he basically basically collected profanity from all the various languages in the world and tried to figure out which language was the best at profanity, had the most exquisite and the most highly developed form of profanity. And as it turns out, it's French. French Canadians specifically swear more than any other people in the world.
Can you give us a sample?
I believe that.
No, I'm pretending I'm on a family show. Anyway, I just thought I'd toss that in. So there you go. If you want the highest level of profanity in the world, move to Quebec.
You know what? For my class, my high school class senior trip, we went to Montreal. For a little vacation, I guess our entire class went there. And I remember going on a very small tour there and our class and tour guide running into a French Canadian who I'm sure you can imagine was very, very happy to have to have a tour full of school children running through the middle of his bike path or whatever he was doing for the day. So he swore at us, jumping up and down, holding his bicycle. Wearing his, his little bandana and beret. It's a classic thing. He swore at us, jumping up and down like that for 15 minutes as we stood there and watched. And the only thing I can remember out of that is the poor tour guide woman who turned probably 18 different shades of red while she was trying to talk to us over this man. So I do believe you when you say that... The French can really whoop some verbal ass, so to speak. So it's pretty funny.
So, guys, want to talk about Linux or what? Or GNU Linux?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about Linux. I know
John's
it sounds crazy,
has to be
but
GNU Linux.
That's right.
Trash me, man.
I did have something I was thinking about this week, and we could let you guys go off on how you feel about this, but. I think it was I was listening to Twit, actually,
And they were talking
about...
You're
kind of crapping out on me.
Am I crapping out on you now?
Oh, that's good.
Okay. I was listening to, I think it was Twit this week, and they were talking about an older episode talking about the upcoming release of Vista and the security measures that they're putting in place. Now, maybe one day, maybe MS is going to get it a little better together with security that people can feel more comfortable in using their operating system without the risk of spyware and all these viruses and all these other corruptions that come down the pike with using Windows. If that day comes, do you think that that is going to impede on the spread of Linux on the desktop? Or do you think it's too late?
Are you suggesting that it's possible that someday Windows will be secure?
Maybe. Yeah. It's possible.
It's just a maybe. It's a fantasy kind of statement, you know.
I suppose it's possible that. No, actually, I don't think so. I think any ground that Linux has made up to this point, it's going to continue to hold, and I think it's going to continue to get more ground. It's not just about it being more secure. I mean, there are other reasons why people are looking to Linux as opposed to Microsoft. I mean, if it was strictly a question of security, I mean, you'd think that by now the entire world would be running Linux, and that Microsoft would have 5% of the desktop out there. But that's not the case. So there has to be other reasons besides security on both sides of the equation. I mean, fear, uncertainty, and doubt keeps people running Windows, and people run Linux because it's a better alternative overall. It's not just that it's more secure, it's a better product overall. And, philosophically, there are also reasons why people run it, and I don't think they're going to switch to Microsoft tomorrow. Like, if it started becoming a really secure operating system, I don't think they'd switch philosophically, if I can put it that way, regardless of the fact that it might now be equally secure. Making sense?
Yes, perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But
seriously, I think it's... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, but if they got the security right, they already got the applications in their back pocket. The applications people are really comfortable with. I think that might be a discouraging factor for people to go off and to try Linux. Because most people, when they go buy a computer, they don't get a choice. And if I don't see that there being a choice in the near future, particularly on the desktop.
You know, yeah, but that choice, the choice is what is going to make things better for people. Having a choice is a good thing. And in fact, I've actually gone on record as saying that if everybody in the world ran Linux and there was no alternative, that would be a bad thing. You know, it's good that there are competing technologies out there. It's good that there are different, it's good that I can go out and I can buy something other than just a Ford in black. You know, I like the fact that there are Chryslers and Mercedes and Beemers and Hondas and Toyotas out there. That's a healthy marketplace. The marketplace in the operating system world and on the desktop is not really healthy at the moment. It's gotten healthier as desktop Linux has matured, but it's still sick. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's gotten real quiet out there. It's like I've gotten everybody so serious, and everybody's going, "Oh my god!"
Well, I just think I don't really feel qualified to answer that because the people that are deep in that space, like yourself, Mark Race comes to mind, the guy that runs the reallylinux.com website. You guys are in this space, and you have are much more aware of where the flows are going, where the tides are going. So, for myself, I'm hard-pressed to figure two or three reasons why people move to Linux. Well, I moved to it because it's more secure. There's a big geek factor to it. The price is right, So I don't really know what the major reasons are that people... It's hard to comment on that,
I run Linux because it's free.
Yeah, but what... That's right.
Freaking cool, man.
Exactly, right?
Linux, I don't think we ever have to worry about Windows becoming cool. So.
That's right. Linux has a serious cool factor. That's one of the reasons for it.
That's the best reason for running it.
So that'll be the starting point.
You know, when you run Windows, you don't go and tell the world I run Windows. When you run Linux, you know, that's worth saying something. Oh, by the way, I'm sure there are one or two out there.
Probably.
So what we'll see in the future is a Dell campaign that said, dude, you're running Linux.
I hope so.
On a Dell.
You know,
on a Dell.
No, I honestly think that, you know, all kidding aside, I honestly think that Linux is actually a better product, and we got to stop apologizing for it all the time. I mean, I keep hearing the arguments all the time, people saying, oh, when is it going to be ready for this, when is it going to be ready for that? You know, it's ready now, for God's sakes, and if we started being a little bit more proud of what it's capable of doing, rather than always picking and, you know, looking for the one little place where it isn't doing it, it's like hardware support. People talk about, well, you know, I've got all these problems with hardware support. Linux has better hardware support than any version of Windows out there. It does. But, of course, if you go out and you buy, you know, this one piece of hardware with a driver that was only written for Windows, you immediately go, well, you know, Linux really sucks because it couldn't handle the driver for this one little piece of hardware.
Right.
Let me say it again. Linux has better hardware support overall than any version of Windows out there, period. You know? And yet, when, you know, you go out and you get your Windows PC and you've got a piece of hardware that doesn't work, what do? You go out and you buy another piece of hardware. You know, you don't say Windows sucks because it didn't support this.
Now, you're absolutely right.
Anyway.
We need to be a lot more proactive, in our Linux evangelization than explanatory for its very few lacks these days.
The best example I can give is do a Windows install and then do a Linux install and compare time-wise how long it takes from start to end.
Yeah. I agree with that statement. However, as people will point out to you all the time, how many people ever install Windows on their PC? And, of course, once their PC has crapped out because they've got a whole bunch of viruses or has crapped out because there's so much spyware running on it, what do? They call up guys like you and me who know things about computers so we can reinstall it for them. Or they spend $75 going to the local computer store and having them reinstall it.
Or they just spend $300 for a new computer.
Well, they call the Geek Squad and for $79 to talk to them on the phone.
Bingo. Absolutely. You're totally right. Well, over here we've got these guys called Nerds on Wheels.
Where were they from?
You're right in that nobody really installs Windows anymore. You're right. It becomes pre-installed. But I watched a guy about a month ago. He bought a new laptop, Windows on it, and he opened it up for the first time and turned it on. Swear to God, it took him about an hour to get to the desktop, because even though he didn't install Windows, he booted it up for the first time. It goes through all the, you know, initial kind of create a user account and all that stuff. And then end user licenses upon end user licenses upon end user licenses. Click, read this, set up this, set up this, set up this. For all of the third-party demo software that came with it and stuff like that. So, I mean, whether people install Windows or not, maybe the analogy should be the first time running Linux, first time running Windows, because the first time running Windows on a computer is not a pleasure.
No, it's not. Actually, one of my favorite things, and I love doing this, it's a personal, private little joy. Every time I get a new computer or I get my hands on a new computer, I have this little thing where I try to power it on and put a CD in the drive quickly enough so that I don't see the Windows boot up screen and I can erase it. And load Linux over top of it. Then that way I can say that I've never seen Windows running on that computer ever.
Beautiful.
Hey, we finally started talking Linux on this show. This is great.
Dan's heart just went back down because the lights flashed over here.
That would suck. The power goes out, we're screwed.
Totally. Hey, where did Doc and did Jeremy make it on? Troops?
Droops had to step out for a minute. Jeremy might be on later. We have not heard back from Doc. Pat said his daughter's getting married this week or something.
Yep.
So
we'll let it slide this one time.
I guess that's a good excuse. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, if you're going to come up with an excuse, that's a pretty good one. You know.
Well, wait a minute. How many daughters does he have?
Yeah, right. That's the second question.
I think it's one.
How many do you have, and can we have pictures for proof, right?
Exactly.
Nah, we'll let him slide this time.
Well, you know what? Speaking about making excuses or always apologizing for what might be perceived as a lack in Linux, another thing that I wanted to bring up and talk about, where I do see a severe lack and a big question mark as to the future of this product, now that Apple has moved away from the PPC architecture to an Intel architecture, is that going to kill PPC Linux on the desktop? And in regards to right now, compared to Intel Linux, PPC has a lot of deficits. You know, Flash isn't available. You can't get a lot of the media codecs to run properly if you want to watch video. Just some of the fundamental desktop applications or usages are not available on PPC Linux. And
I'm
concerned that with Apple leaving the PPC market, it's just going to dry up the desktop.
Now, you know, you brought up good points there, Dan, because I'll tell you right now that my entire web surfing and video enjoyment experience is defined by whether or not I can hit a Flash site correctly and whether a WMV file plays.
Well, no way. Let me tell you why it does matter. Because when I got this new PowerBook, the question came up, do we give the kids my old PowerBook or do we give them the laptop that the wife is using that's running Debian?
Right.
Now, my wife wanted to keep the Debian machine, which means that I had to give the kids a PowerBook. Now, are they going to use Ubuntu or OS X? And the problem is, using Ubuntu, while it's great and has some of their applications that they like to run, they like to go out to websites. They like to go to Barbie.com or some of the other sites, you know, Nick Jr., some educational sites. That's all Flash-based. You can't do that in PPC Linux.
Dan has Barbie.com.
You know, you can't watch video on PPC Linux.
So should your response to that be caving in and installing Windows and doing that if Windows is the only thing they'll play it, or should it be, doing a little research and trying to find something else that would fill?
Well, that's an interesting question, actually, because of course that PC isn't. That PC isn't meant to be running PowerPC Windows. Is there such a thing as PowerPC Windows?
No, but I mean, it's just in a theoretical sense. Marcel the smartass thinks he's got to run Windows on PowerPC. Throw me a bone. Come on. No, you know what?
I guess my answer to this question is it's going to have a zero-sum effect.
No, but I mean, my whole point is, do we really need to, like proliferate the use of the odd codec and the non-standard stuff, or do we need to like demand that things be more standardized by looking for something a little bit different, something better, perhaps?
The only one that makes a difference, though, are the manufacturers because they're bundling all the they're all in bed with Microsoft, right? So they're all bundling all the Microsoft stuff, and not just Microsoft, but all the stuff. So that's what the consumers get. And so that's what the consumers expect, and it's a consumer-driven market.
It's a consumer-driven market only so far, though. It's only consumer-driven as far as the purchases go, because nobody really writes the producers of this kind of software and hardware to say, oh, your stuff is really wonderful, or, you know, you really suck because I can't run it on my Linux box. And if we had more people that would actually make their opinions more vocal, maybe they would listen a little bit more. You know, as it sits now, producers have to go out and poll people, you know, for what kind of, you know, what kind of product we actually have. What do you think about our people they poll about their product are the people they give free demos to and stuff like that. So, of course, I can say, hey, it's a wonderful thing.
But all right, this is where I... my opinion.
Hey?
This is where I have to jump in and make my usual plea to the listeners and everybody on this one, okay? And everybody who's heard this before, just give me like 2 seconds on this. Here's the scoop. It is market-driven to some degree. In other words, the consumer does have some impact on what we wind up getting. If we all appear to be satisfied with what's being delivered to us, then obviously this is where they're going to continue delivering it. If they keep selling us a product that nobody buys, eventually they're going to get the idea, because quite frankly, the whole point of business is to make some money. And if you're not selling your product, you're not making money, and there's no point in continuing to do it and beating your head against it. The public does decide to some degree, but the public is easily malleable, and the public is happy for the most part to take whatever they're given. Now, those of us out there who actually understand what it is we're working with and why it's good to be running Linux or something like that can do something about it. And here's what I suggest. And I suggest everybody does this all the time. If you're running a PC that's running Linux at home and you're going to the store and you're going to buy a printer, you've probably already gone to linuxprinting.org and you've probably already made sure that the printer you're going to buy actually runs under Linux and it's got the appropriate driver. That's because, you know, a lot of us tend to know enough to go and look that stuff up beforehand. Here's what you do, though. Even if you know that the hardware you're going to buy, whether it's a hard drive, whether it's a keyboard, whether it's a mouse, whether it's a set of speakers, I don't really care. When you go into the computer store, go up there and say, does it work with Linux? And in all likelihood, the person who's selling this thing is going to say, I don't know. And you say, if it doesn't work with my Linux system, can I return it? Now, and be nice while you're doing this, by the way. The whole point of this is to create an atmosphere where the sales, where the people in the stores and the people who are talking to their vendors on the other end and so forth recognize that people come into the store looking to buy stuff for their Linux systems. And little by little, over time, that stuff is going to trickle back to the manufacturers, because the guy at the store is going to say, you know, I get a lot of people who come in here asking about, you know, whether or not their hardware is going to work with Linux. Have you got some printers that work? You know, it's going to happen. It happens over time, and we can sort of generate that buzz. I'm not saying it's a big thing. I'm not saying that it's going to have a huge overnight impact or something like that, but it does help to let people know that, A, we're out there, B, we're a marketing force, and, you know, and as such, we hit their pocketbook directly. They make us happy, they make money, and it's good to make us happy. Am I making sense?
Yeah, exactly.
Well put.
Yeah, totally. There's only a group of us, though, you know, like the bunch of us on this show, for example. We buy boxes with hardware components in them and an operating system. Not everybody else, but a lot of other people just buy computers.
Right.
So until they, in their mind, start buying a box with individual components, with an operating system, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think that's when the shift
will it doesn't matter then. What you do is you go into the store and you say, look, I'm not going to run Windows on this PC. I realize that maybe you can't sell it to me without Windows, but I'm not going to run Windows on this PC. I want to run Linux. Will Linux work properly on this thing? And say, if Linux won't work properly on this thing, I'd like to return it. Is that okay with you? And right there, what you've done is you've held $1,000 under their nose and told them that you're not going to keep it if it's not going to work properly for you. Again, you know, it's one of those things that says that, yes, there are people out there who are willing to spend money and sometimes lots of money, and by the way, they're not running Windows.
Yeah, true. Yep.
Yeah, I'd say Marcel for president, but they have this funny law about you being Canadian.
Hey, aren't they making an exception?
Well, you never know.
Only if Arnold can get in.
Yeah, only for Arnold.
I was going to say, yeah.
He is Conan the Barbarian.
Conan for president.
Conan for president. Oh, Kelly's home.
The lamentation of the women.
I still say you say delamination.
No, it's not.
I thought it was lamination. No, it's
lamentation. To lament.
Kelly was gone and Droops left at the same time.
Oh, man.
They both
came
back.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, man.
Hello? Coincidence?
There's something going on.
Hello?
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 Yeah, I'm back, guys.
They can hear you.
I can hear them.
Hi,
oh, we can hear you.
Hi, Kelly.
Hello?
Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Hey! Hear them.
Troop, say hi. Don't be
Hello.
Shy.
I think I'm supposed to say what is this occasion? Like happy birthday or like
that's the 100th show, man.
Like yeah, so
happy 100th show.
Centennial, happy centennial.
You know what? Not only is this the 100th show, this is the first show we ever had a woman on.
You know, that's you're right.
No, didn't we have
Sausage Party City? One of those shows back with your
buddy, wasn't it one of his, this is the second show.
No, we did, actually.
We had
we
some
did.
Chick on the
when
the
they
one
had the
time.
Open store down in Charleston.
Oh, yeah,
the open
that's
store.
Right, my mistake.
The you're the second only woman on the Linux Link Tech
probably
show,
the
Kelly.
Second only one to actually ever listen
well,
to hear us.
Gee, you know,
a woman, is she naked?
You know, I can't even imagine why you haven't had so many women. What did you just call it? Chicks? Interesting.
That was Link.
That's right.
Mr. Misogyny.
Mr. Misogyny.
Miss what?
Mr. Misogyny.
No, that's just Dan picking on me.
That's okay. I'm just joking. So me and the penguins were up to walking the dog, talking about, you know, CMOS, you know, that's the compliment. No, I'm not even saying this right. I went on Google, and I searched for a whole bunch of stupid Linux terms so I could get on here and say something that would just totally mystify everybody. But what happens? I can't even read my own handwriting.
But you already did just get on here and say something that totally mystified us all.
Okay, what was that?
The sad thing, Kelly, is you mystified everyone by just being here and being a woman.
I know, IRC is like, what is that?
My job is so easy.
They're all saying, oh my God, it's a girl.
Although Marcel posted a link to linuxchick.org.
That's right. See, they're right, Linux Chick.
Linux Chick is a community for women who...
No such thing.
That's right here.
There are actually some highly knowledgeable group. Some of them are fine writers as well. I just thought I'd point that out.
Kelly, what are you?
Afraid you're going to get in trouble.
I'm hearing some weird,
oh,
scary echo here.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, in define user.
What's your primary OS that you're most comfortable with?
You know what's funny? I know what you're talking about. I know what an OS is. It's an operating syndrome. No, system. I'm teasing. I'm not really this stupid. Yeah.
I like the operating syndrome.
You like that? Do you know that we have a friend whose dog's name is Syndrome so that he can say Down Syndrome? Isn't that horrible?
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
I know. That's just nasty. Sorry.
I told you this was live, right?
Yeah. I forgot. Usually John goes, you can't say that on this. And then he cuts it out. But he's giving me this look right now going,
yeah, but see,
oh,
you're
my
on the,
God.
You're on the tech show. You can say anything on the tech show. That's the good part about the show.
See, I can say anything. Plus, I'm a chick on a Linux show.
Okay. Now, Kelly was using Windows up until about a month ago. Now she got a... iBook?
Yeah, I've got an iBook. It's very pretty.
She won't let me put Yellow Dog on it.
She's smart. You want to put Ubuntu.
You want to put Ubuntu on it. That's what I was going to say.
Or Crux. Or Gentoo.
No, not Gentoo. There's not enough time in your week to do Gentoo.
Yeah, it's only like 1.2 gig processor or something.
Oh, then you'll be done with Gentoo in a month or
about
so.
A week or so. Yeah.
A month will get you to prompt.
Yeah. No X, but you can get to a prompt.
I have no idea what any of you guys are talking about.
Be gentle with Kelly.
Jeez.
That's actually a pretty good corny joke.
I'm a Buntu, Bouchu.
Hey, I stole that from Biden.
The best way to think about Gentoo is refer to it as the GCC screensaver.
You know, I'm waiting for someone to use the bad pun in the word man.
What was it that you cut out a little bit?
I said I want to hear somebody use a bad pun using the word mandriva. Somebody's got the volume up, so I hear a major echo.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just started hearing that too over here. That's not us.
Turn down your volume, whoever it is that's listening to the show. Turn it down.
Headphones are a good thing.
I don't know who that is. Who could that be?
Headphones
that
are good,
be?
Yeah.
No, God, what are you doing, Jonathan?
I don't know.
You can always listen to the show later on podcast, MP3. You know, put it on your iPod and listen to it on the way home.
Ogfile.
Oh, my God. Why would I do that? You want me to get rid of Luda?
Nobody knows who Luda is. See?
All right. Anybody? What's a Luda? I've heard of a Luki before, but I don't know what a Luda is. Okay.
Mandriva.
Who's this, like, this awkward silence thing that's going on?
I have no,
killed the show.
I have no, Ludacris, you know, he's like, you know, hip-hop, he's a rap artist.
Okay. Oh, one of those guys.
Yeah, like that guy, 75 cents or 50 cents or 25 cents or something like that.
50 cents.
something see,
now you
something
guys
under
sound
a buck
like me
anyway.
When I'm talking about computers.
It's less than a buck, that's all I know.
Less than a buck. Less than a buck.
Did you get that from Magnitude?
Apparently not. Oh, there you go. Somebody came up with Mandrill. Hey, Agnewstick, how you doing, man?
Agnewstick. Mandribble, man.
Am I the only one reading the channel?
I actually just realized what you guys were doing. I thought you guys were coming up with all these clever little lines on yourself, and now I see the little mini black screen before me.
Yeah, well, it's a show. That's our teleprompter.
I can type whatever I want in this.
When the teleprompter.
Kelly, I just want to say that for me, I'm making it up as I go along. I don't know about these guys whether they're reading it somewhere, but I am making it up as I go along.
He's a writer. He's got a whole book full of stuff over there.
You're just a naturally brilliant fellow.
Like I'm going to argue with that.
Smart man. Smart man.
There we go. Quiet again. Scary.
It's just a brief pause while the rest of us here at the tech show drink our beer. That's how we can remain. Yeah, that's how we can remain so functionally witty throughout the show.
Well, functionally, anyway.
Functionally, that's right.
So where are you guys located?
Pennsylvania.
Everywhere.
Pennsylvania.
Yep, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Mississauga, Ontario, Canada.
You know, we were just there like 3 weeks ago. We were in North York.
We went up in the CN Tower. Are you happy I didn't call it the Space Needle? Are you happy about that? I called it the CN Tower. There you go. We ate supper up there.
That's a nice place to have a meal, actually.
But Canada is such a small place, you might have run into each other.
Wow, another person with functional wit.
No, it's still the same guy, Kelly.
I was hoping you wouldn't claim that.
I have to say something to keep this show going.
Yeah, please.
Dan's over
about
here
giving
me this
thing. That's a crazy idea.
Dan is speechless tonight all of a sudden.
Glazed over look. Dan, did you like drink too much beer tonight?
No, I'm just trying to watch him.
I thought you were going to say something. Let's ask the IRC channel. What do they want us to talk about?
No, they don't want anything.
They don't want anything.
They just want you to talk.
They want
the woman to talk. That's exciting.
They want the woman to talk.
What are you wearing?
Here, tell them to type in there what they wanted to say.
Now they don't want to know what we're wearing. They want to know what you're wearing. That's the thing.
I'm in Canada. It's cold. I'm wearing everything.
Not yet.
It's not that cold up here, Kelly. Come on.
No, it's actually today. It's lovely. It's about I think it was 27 degrees today. I have no idea what that is.
It's quite warm.
Usitarian, I don't know what that is.
85 degrees about?
I don't know what it is either, actually. It's warmish.
80s.
Probably 80. Around 80.
Really?
Surely somebody's got a Celsius to Fahrenheit converter or vice versa there somewhere.
Hey, I want to ask John, you're part of the podcast network. That seems to be mostly Australian programs, correct?
Well, yeah, I think that's just kind of a fluke of where they're from, though, because Cam and Rock Stanek are the guys that run it, and they're Australians.
So how'd you hook up with them?
That's a damn good question. I did about seven or eight podcasts called Tales from the Mother which was just, you know, me, just about tech, internet technology primarily. I kind of like doing it, but...
80.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
80.6, there you go. But I like doing it, but I wanted to get involved in something a little bigger. So I don't know exactly how I teed up with them, but I guess I ran across their site and emailed them or something.
You guys are part of the Calgary Lug?
So what's that, sorry?
You're part of the Calgary Lug?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think I've only been to one of their install fests, but I'm a lot of talk on the mailing list and stuff.
Is that all they do, install fests? It seems like that's a trap a lot of lugs fall into. All they do is install fests every month or every week or whatever.
Yeah, these guys have a monthly install fest and then a monthly meeting, and there's sometimes it's combined with the meeting, sometimes it's a third event. There's usually some kind of what? A while ago, Aaron Ciego, I always did something on the making kiosk mode, and, like things like that, you know.
We're
reasonably active.
We're talking to Aaron next week, actually.
Yeah, I heard Wendy was either going to. Coming on, yeah.
He just came back from Spain. He was in Malaga at the KDE conference, and I saw some pictures of him. He looked pretty scary in those pictures,
yeah.
Man. He looked like he was an axe murderer or something. Lack of
I have yet to meet him. Yeah, we live in the same city.
Check out his blog if you get a chance.
Then again, I've seen pictures of Richard Stallman in Halo. But I'm.
We've talked.
I'm just out of curiosity.
On your show, if you keep talking to him like that, Link.
We were talking earlier that Kelly had mentioned that she heard Richard Stallman's voice and it reminded her of Woody Allen. Well, meanwhile, she saw the picture of him. She was expecting a totally different voice.
You don't agree?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's pretty funny.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I see this picture, and you know, I don't want to be totally ignorant when I'm. Poor Jonathan's show, you know. I'd like to pronounce some things correctly and know what some people are. But so I'm looking him up and I'm reading a little bit about him, and then all of a sudden I'm listening to Jonathan's show and I'm like, what the hell? That's him? I couldn't believe it. Night and day.
I was prepared, but I was only prepared because I listened to your guys' show back in when you had him on. That's the only reason I was prepared.
He's a very interesting person to speak with.
He is, you know, I love him or hate him, he's an interesting guy, yeah.
I agree with him on a lot of things regarding software, and we'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, I know this is a completely different topic, but somebody mentioned lugs, the Calgary lug up there. Does everybody on this channel actually participate in a lug in one form or another?
Yes.
Or go to the occasional lug.
These guys are the Lay Valley Lug, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty Danny much. And I started the lug here.
In fact, the other channel on this IRC is the LV Lug.
LV Lug, that's it. No, actually, Dan and I met, how many years ago was it now, Dan? Was it like seven?
It was an eternity.
Eight? It was a long time ago.
It was about 6 years ago.
Six years ago? We met on some forum talking about actually starting a lug here in the Lehigh Valley. And, you know, we both got together and shortly thereafter did just that. And we have now one of the longest functioning Linux user groups in Pennsylvania, as far as I know, and possibly a lot farther than that. We've even been asked on more than a few occasions how to maintain a successful Linux user group by some newer ones.
Well, I think that one of the things that happens is one of the traps that a lot of lugs get into is they start getting into the whole whole alpha geek thing. I think, unfortunately, that happens every once in a while. And you've got a lot of people who are actually looking to Linux user groups as a place to get information, quite frankly. I mean, they're new to this, and they're hoping that they're going to meet other people who might tell them how to deal with, you know, whatever little issues they're running into and so forth. One of the cool things, of course, about Linux is that, you know, you get to play with it. You get to tweak it. You know, you get to muck about with things if you want to, of course. You don't actually have to do all those things. But it is a, you know, in many ways it can be a hobbyist SOS if you, you know, if that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to play with. And I think that sometimes lugs forget that that's why people join some. They want to experiment. They want to try things. They don't want to get intimidated. And
And I think more than anything, that's what it should be about. I think when lugs get together, they should be a portion of every meeting devoted entirely to helping people out, you know, who are new to it, who have the newbie questions. And you don't make them feel bad for asking newbie questions as well. It should be fun. It should be a social thing.
Absolutely.
You know, you're right. We actually... We
Let me tell you something.
We love
the newbies aren't going for a social thing. They're going because they tried everything that they can and they can't figure it out, and they need some answers.
Very true.
Well, you know, I actually don't think that a lug is anything different than I don't think it's anything different than a model railway club or a sewing circle or anything like that. I do think there's a social component, which is
That's
by
right.
a lot
you
of lugs,
see my
you know,
needle
after
point.
The meeting. Which is why after the meeting they all go out and have a beer and a hamburger somewhere. You know, it's a you know, for a lot of people it's
that.
A hobby.
After the meeting,
yeah, it's a hobby. It's something to play with.
During the meeting,
one of the things
I will
that
say
was
the first time I showed up at the club group, the Sean Grover, who's the president, was like all over me. Hi, who are you? Blah blah blah. Introduced me to. Yeah, it was a very positive experience.
One of the things that our lug actually lucked out on is that we have a member, his name's Jeff, who was part of another group in the area called the Lehigh Valley Computer Users Group, which was primarily retired people. And that's actually where Link and I first met. We actually went to an LVCG meeting, and they supposedly had a Linux thing, but this guy spun off a special interest group from their group, which did basic Linux training. So we, you know, we had a loose partnership with them. So any of the people who would come in and want to learn how to add a monthly, two sessions a month, where it was a 6-month course, you'd actually be able to go and he'd teach you how to use Linux. They'd use Linux, so it was really cool. But yeah, I mean, one of the traps that we saw from the get-go was just the install fast lug. Where every week it was a new every month it was a new flavor of Linux that they try and install on the computer and never go anywhere. Fortunately, we've been able to go beyond that and, you know, not only have monthly meetings, some of them are technical, some of them are just get together and just bullshit, but we also have a really active mailing list and you know, a fairly active chat line too, and a lot of resources that we provide members. So we've lucked out, and I know that you, Marcel, run the what is it, WTFL lug?
Or yeah, the WFTL lug, WFTL lug. I'll post a link in the IRC chat window there. The reason that I did that one, of course, was for exactly the same thing. I thought, as people who, obviously it started out with people who were reading my stuff, reading my books, reading my articles, and so forth, asking questions, and I thought, you know, as people learn this stuff, it might be nice, you know, if I gave them a forum where they could, you know, help each other out, ask questions and help other people out and so forth. And quite frankly, that's actually worked out really well. Now, I did that originally to give myself, to make it easier on myself, you know, because I couldn't handle all the questions that were coming in. But it kind of took on a really cool life of its own, and now we've got members on the list from 30 different countries. It's really quite impressive.
Pretty awesome, man.
It's a lot of fun.
That's what's cool about Linux, man.
And the WFTL lug's an official lug, right?
It is an official lug. It's actually recognized as an official lug. In fact, it's in Canada. Well, just about every country has their own blank or umbrella organization that lists all the various lugs. And the WFTL lug is actually recognized as a Canadian lug by CLU, the Canadian Linux Users Exchange. But like I said, the thing that's interesting about this one is it doesn't actually meet in any specific place. It's entirely in cyberspace, if you will. Yeah, it's a virtual lug, and but like I said, we've got literally people from 30 different countries, and there are about somewhere between 400 and 500 active members on a regular basis on it. It's pretty cool.
That's what's cool about the internet, man. You get people from all around the world who are into the same thing, getting together, and mm-hmm. you form communities yeah. based around the same interests. You know.
Now, Droops.
Hey guys.
Yeah, you wanted to say.
Hey, welcome back.
You wanted to say something.
Actually trying to start up a lug at my college. We have one, but it's mainly just a mailing list. We haven't had meetings in years. And there's another college that's about an hour away. It's a very active group that goes on once a they have a meeting. And we're trying to get the two of them go. One of them's not an official student organization and things like that. And I'd like to invite any of y'all to come down and attend one of our meetings. I'll pick y'all up at the airport and y'all can stay in my guest room.
Where
really?
Does that include airfare?
The Toronto airport?
Yeah.
I hope not too many people take you up on that.
Do you have a hot tub?
Any of y'all, come on down. I have a shower.
Where are you? Troops?
Hey, John boy.
You're in Mississippi, right, Troops?
I'm in Mississippi, right outside of Memphis.
Now, we had a lug that was affiliated with a college here, Lehigh University. The problem was they wouldn't allow non-college, non-students or faculty to be members. Is that the same with the
one at the one at the University of Mississippi is actually the county, town, and university Linux users group. It's anybody that wants to join in, and you can also get an easy way to get a .edu email address is through them because the school sponsors it, but you don't have to go to the school to be in it. And the one at Mississippi State, I'm not a student there, and my buddy that's sitting right here next to me, he is not a student there, but we're members of the little group, and we've been to their meetings.
Who's sitting right next to you?
This is my friend Fiber.
Oh.
You want him to say hi?
Sure, Fiber can say hi. This is like cotton fiber?
Fiber optics?
Hello, Fiber.
No, this is...
Hi,
this
Fiber.
This is Fiber that uses lots
hi,
of flatware.
Fiber.
Okay.
Sounds like a breakfast cereal.
He can't hear y'all because I have the headphones on.
Did he just fart in a microphone?
It sounded like Dan just had some high fiber there for a second.
Oh, that kind of fiber. Yeah.
We're sucking down
many beers. I don't even know what to say to that.
Damn.
It's not what you can say, it's what you can smell, Marcel. Just be happy about that.
When we had Eric Raymond on a couple weeks back, we forgot to talk to him about the hoagie guy.
He'll kick your
ass. Oh, the hoagie guy.
The hoagie guy.
You guys probably haven't heard...
Hoagie is actually a submarine sandwich for the people out there who don't know that.
You guys probably haven't heard that story yet, and
you, don't want to.
You count yourselves lucky, so we just leave that at
the hoagie guy rules, man.
Oh, man.
I should show up down at Droops with the hoagie guy.
It's definitely one of those things. Like, if you haven't heard the hoagie guy story, you really have to go to our website and dig through the archives. I don't even have the site up right now. Otherwise, I'd tell you what show number it is. But it's probably one of the more disgusting stories.
You know what? Droops says he has to go. I want to thank Droops for coming on. I hope we can have him come on another time.
Hey, Droops. Thanks.
Okay. Come on anytime. Thank you, Droops.
You rule, man.
Thank y'all.
We love you, Groups.
Anyway, you were saying?
All right, he's what?
No, you would
what?
Like
the
mid sentence. You were in mid sentence.
Yeah, you were going to film a video of your how old is your older daughter?
I'm thinking of doing that this weekend.
Dan's going to film a video of his daughter installing Ubuntu.
Oh, that would be.
How old is she? 8?
7.
That would be cool.
7-year-old installing Ubuntu. Cool.
She's never done anything like that before. Cool. She doesn't even know she's going to do it.
That's the beauty of it.
I didn't want to announce it in case.
That sounds like me every day before a podcast.
Screw up. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Should be interesting. On an Apple or a x86?
No, we're not going to go PPC.
Don't want to complicate things
too much. It's really not that much
desktop.
Different.
Desktop. Do it on a desktop, man.
And we're going to... I got an old PC over there we're going to throw on. Just, Ubuntu.
Phenomicon TV?
I don't know what we're going to do with it. It hasn't even happened yet.
One step at a time, right?
Yeah, I got
it's a theoretical video.
It's one of those, I don't know how well it's going to go, and then I got to put it together with Kino. And I don't think I want to put it on our server because we're already out of space.
Oh, we're getting hammered.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
but yeah, I was definitely thinking of putting it on over on Infonomicon TV since he's got a great thing going there. So.
Yeah, oh yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of video IP shows out there now on the internet, and there's some really cool ones.
When's your TV show coming, John?
You don't want to see us, man.
We're perfect for radio.
Oh, face for radio, eh?
Yeah, good face for radio. Yeah. Maybe Kelly could do a show, but not me.
Now, Marcel,
me and the penguin.
Marcel, your hey? Segment on... what is the damn show again?
Call for help.
Yeah, is that
call for help? Yeah,
it's not complicated, Dave.
I don't get that.
For anyone who's wondering, Hoagie Guy is that show 37?
37. Okay.
I don't get call for help. Okay, I don't get Tech TV. Well, or it's Sport TV. Are you on there on actually? Are you just a call-in person, or are you actually on the show?
No, I actually do a segment. I mean, I go into the studio and I record a couple of shows every month. And I talk about Linux. I show off cool Linux things. I mean, it's all everything I do is pretty much desktop oriented. I've done shows on desktop applets. I did shows on email replacements for people that might, you know, think that the only thing in the world shows on Linux games. I've done shows on I've done shows on all sorts of things. I've probably done about 15 or 16 shows so far, and in fact, next week I'm going in to tape two more, so haven't 100% decided what I'm going to talk about yet, but...
You were on the Lightsabers a couple times, weren't you?
Yeah, but I was in San Francisco, and that's how I managed to pull that one off. The great thing about Call for Help at the moment is it's being taped in Toronto, so Leo actually flies up from San Francisco and records a whole month's worth of episodes over the course of a week. And so I get to go into the studio and tape the shows, you know, without having to get on a plane and fly in the other direction. So it's actually kind of neat to be able to do that right now.
I saw about three episodes, and it looked pretty good. A little more technical.
Somebody on the channel says Leo is still alive. Yes, he is.
Yeah, we actually interviewed him not that long ago.
Not we, you white.
Leo's a cool guy. He's actually a lot of fun, and he's a total pro. I mean, he's been doing this for a long time, and he's totally comfortable doing what he's doing. And I like Call for Help. I think it's a great show.
He actually knows more Linux than he actually lets on most of the time.
Actually, Leo loves Linux. He actually loves Macs too. Yes. He's a big OS X fan.
I brought that up with him, and he claimed otherwise, but we'll leave it at that.
No, I think he really likes Macs. He's a big fan. Actually, he's a techno geek. He loves technology pretty much. You know, anything tech, anything geek, I think he's pretty much into.
The more the merrier. That's what
I scared everybody again.
Leo's a cool guy. I enjoy talking to him. He was very, very friendly, very down to earth, and he was really good.
Yeah, and I enjoy listening to Twit.
I guess. Yeah, yes. The only gripe I have with the Twitcast is John Dvorak, man.
I don't mind John Dvorak.
He's sometimes a bit of a tool, you know?
You know what? After all the crap I heard about, a lot of the Linux sites are always bitching about John Dvorak. Personally, I had the impression of him was completely opposite of what I got when I listened to him on Twit, from what I got from the Linux sites.
Isn't he the guy that just started Nerd TV?
Who?
John Dvorak?
I have no idea.
Does anybody know?
I don't know if that's the case, but on the subject of John, I just have to say that, you know, we need some good curmudgeons out there. You know, and John's a great curmudgeon.
Yeah, grouchy old guy. That's what he is, pretty much.
Good word.
What are you going to do?
Somebody's got to talk. It's quiet again.
That's true. Cringely. Somebody just wrote cringely in the channel. I guess he's a pretty good curmudgeon as well.
Yeah.
The thing that I always like to say about John is that the thing I like about John is he's one of those guys that I can say, you know, I agree with him about 50% of the time, you know. So it's like there are times I read it and I go, oh, come on, John. And then the other time I go, John, you're right on, man.
So maybe we can have him on with Buss's balls.
He'll bust your ball, boy.
I'll bust his balls, man.
He'll bust your balls,
put him
boy.
In a freaking
He'll bust your balls, boy.
That's where I...
The playful banter comes back again.
It's going to be the techno grudge match.
I care.
I'm prepared to go into the Lion's Den.
This is normal at times.
During the next Linux Expo, I'm prepared to go into the Lion's Den at the Free Software Foundation, if need be.
What does that mean?
What? What are you going to do, Pat?
Yeah.
People that know me pretty well have a good idea of how I stand on a lot of issues, but... You know?
He's going to expose his anus.
Link is going to go with me. He's going to have his RMS t-shirt on while he's going through.
That's right.
And his stink finger.
Oh, man.
It's beautiful, man.
Fantastic.
Yep, get you the
apparently
old...
the Lion's Den is a porn shop in Columbus.
Good shot, okay. The old hairy eye.
Well, that's always good to know if I'm in Columbus.
Yeah, are we going to go to the Linux Fest in Ohio?
It's like
a long-ass drive, man.
I don't know. You're paying, right, Pat?
Everything. I'm standing outside on my porch today. Freaking Alan shows up. And right behind him, both taking separate cars coming from the same town.
Link's only 2 miles from me as well.
We all live within 3 miles of each other.
And they all took different cars.
It just sort of happened
way before I did.
I'll buy a hybrid when it actually, you know, gets the mileage they claim it does.
When they work. It's just like...
Hey, I should give...
Go ahead.
I should give you a link to the 250-mile-per-gallon hybrid story. You know.
Check it out, man. Send it.
My problem with the hybrid stuff is, like, you just can't go around the corner from my house and find a hydrogen fueling station or something like that.
Hybrids don't use hydrogen fuel.
That's the electric... The
Prius gas is the gas-electric one.
Your garden hose up to it?
Did you take double A's?
Yeah, whole lot of double A's.
A couple of hamster wheels in the game.
Our problem is we don't fit in them. My God, you'd have to be like 5'2 to be able to drive those things around. We're 6'2 and up.
That's true.
One cool thing.
Hey, everybody.
Marcel's got a cut.
Hey, everybody. I'm gonna have to be a party pooper and say my goodbyes to the group here.
Thank you, Marcel.
Thanks Marcel.
Thanks for coming on again, Marcel.
All right, Marcel. Thanks for having me on the channel.
Take care.
It was a lot of fun. Nice chatting with everybody.
Always good to have you.
Take care.
Checks in the mail. Bye-bye.
Checks in the mail.
We'll do it again.
Anytime.
We'll do it again. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Marcel, it was a pleasure.
Good night.
Good night. John.
I'm here.
Does John, should we have John turn up his volume a little bit? Turn on your mic boost now.
Yeah, you can turn it on now because no one else is on. So.
Oh, yeah, Doc's gone, yeah. Hang on, I got to find it. All these little windows freak me out.
One of the things that I noticed on the internet, I saw a story about it.
There's my mic boost.
Hey, there we go. Now we can hear you.
Now you can turn it down just a little bit.
Now you can turn it down just a little bit.
Much, but you need to turn it down a little bit.
Yeah. Too loud now.
Go almost down to the bottom. No, it's at
the mic off. This damn thing
is distorted. Go ahead. You're good. Go ahead. You can say whatever you're doing.
Is that any good?
I don't know. I can't hear you.
No, she sounds perfect.
Yeah, she's perfect. What's wrong with your mic?
John,
natural, you know, just natural booming elegant voice.
I'm moving the mic away. There we go.
All right.
I saw a story on the internet about a guy who converted a diesel engine to run on vegetable oil.
Oh, yeah, there's a company up in Vermont called Grease Cars that will do that for you. They'll sell you the kit for about $700.
Yeah. Got to check that out.
It still runs on diesel, regular diesel. You have to start on diesel, and then once it warms up, you can switch over to basically the fry grease.
Oh, my God, so you could drive and have your lunch at the same time.
You can drive and cook your lunch at the same time, yeah.
Everything was like a French fry truck, yeah. What did that do to the environment if everybody was doing it?
No, wait, John, you got to turn down your mic a little more.
You're distorted.
You guys are killing me here.
I know. It's
all over the place.
We're
going to get hate.
It's more than my compressor can handle.
The compressor's going blinky, blinky. Right.
How's that?
That's better.
That's fine.
Turn we'll mic boost off.
Yeah, just talk louder.
That's my mic all
No,
way.
I'll turn them up. I can turn
them
up. That's
okay.
Fine. That's fine.
And you turn them up then.
That's fine.
There you go.
Can you guys hear me? No problem.
I hear you.
Yeah, you're good.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to say my goodbyes because it was fun. It really was. But I have to go watch Canadian Idol now because they're gonna put somebody off and I have to find out what happens.
That's
so
important.
I will give.
That's really important.
It is not more important than you guys. You understand, but you have to take Kelly Penguin Girl in small bits. You know, understand? Small. You can't swallow the whole spoon at once. So I'm going to give you the mic, Jonathan, so that nobody hears weird stuff from you anymore. Well, I can't guarantee that, you know. But you still sound okay.
Thanks for coming on, Kelly.
All right, fork it over.
Thanks,
thank
Kelly.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, guys, and happy centennial.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now John gets the good mic.
Now we're down to one.
And then there was one. That's right.
It's hard to do with
am I good?
Three or four. Yeah, you're fine. It's hard to do with three or four people in the asterisk.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It eats up the bandwidth after a while.
Mm-hmm. 6-7 people all together makes for a difficult conversation.
Even in real life, never mind over.
Yeah.
That's right. Try that in a podcast, huh?
That's not going to happen.
You know, the real reason why we do a live show is we hate editing.
Yeah, that's what
it's
it is.
It's so goddamn tedious,
man. It's true.
We'll never edit.
We're all lazy sons of bitches, and it's just easier to say what we want to say and have it go than have to piss with it afterwards.
Now John, you're doing a new podcast, right, live? It's like a little 10-15-minute quickie, right?
Yeah, and that's pretty much exactly why. I'm like, screw it, I don't like editing, so I'm just going to do a little ditty and not edit it.
What's it called?
The Motherboard Minute.
Cool. Is it actually going to be a minute? Just a minute?
No, it's about 10.
Liar!
10? Are you talking about motherboards the whole time?
No, it's a stem because I used to do, did I mention this? I used to do a podcast like way long ago called Tales from the Motherboard. So this is kind of, you know, so they're not confused,
right,
but they're related.
Right. So wait, you're doing a podcast called The Motherboard Minute where you don't talk about motherboards and it's longer than a minute.
Nope. Exactly.
That's false advertisement right there. Do you know you could get sued?
Yeah, but not really advertising. You guys are. You brought it up.
He's in Canada, so the time is different.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
That's right.
In Canadian motherboard,
a whole bunch of things
else,
are different up here.
You got to work in the conversion factor there.
Who are you calling a motherboard? I don't know, but like we used to do one, you know, huge show every week, like the, you know, the full hour type of thing. And the show, you know, is reasonably heavy, right? Like there's intros and outros and interviews. And that became too much. So now the new format is we do one, you know, hour long show, and then the next week we just do like a half hour show, which is pretty much not edited. Like we just but we're both on the show for the whole half hour, and we pick some small topic to babble about. And then it's a little bit edited because I got to put the TPM stuff in and stuff. But primarily it's not edited or not as heavily edited, and it's a lot more fun. You're right. I can appreciate why you guys want to.
The only problem with doing a live show is if there's a screw up technically, it's a major screw up. Everything just stops.
Yeah,
but that has never happened to us.
No, consummate professionals.
I think that happened to us on our very first show. As a matter of fact, halfway through the show, we died.
Really? Dan's gotten very quick on getting everything back up and running again.
Except the asterisk server.
Oh, we have all kinds of fun things happen, like the power goes out and stuff like that.
I busted my ass to get that asterisk.
You did a good job, man. Dan did a reinstall the asterisk server on a new hard drive, like, in 2 days' time.
About an hour before the show started.
And it worked afterwards.
Please work. Please work. No.
Compile.
I was saying, he normally compiles just before the show starts.
I didn't know it was on an MySQL database, too.
I put a post on the forum asking what people want to ask for the frequently asked questions section of our new website. And one of the first questions were on there was... how many of us still actually run Slackware?
I didn't know we had a frequently asked question.
We do now, and if you see now, Dan doesn't even read your website, man.
Shows what I know.
He reads the website as often as I read the forum.
They wanted to know where his manly facial hair went.
Whose manly facial hair?
Yours.
True. What happened to Dan's manly beard?
There it is. About a week.
He wanted to know.
It went down the sink.
Is that really a frequently asked question, or is that just asked once?
No, this is just
it sounded good with the
he needs to go back with just a mustache, you know?
I look like it. Oh, yeah. He
looks like the hairy guy.
I know Link is running Slackware, and Alan on his laptop is running Slackware.
I'm also running it at home as well.
I'm Slackware free right now.
Shame on you.
But we all use the server here at the LinuxLink.net, which does indeed run Slackware.
The main server, Slackware.
So. What about Canonics? I forgot. Jedlin told me to say Canonics as much as I could on the show.
I'm the only one that runs Canonics.
Yeah, Canonics is probably the coolest thing since sliced bread, except for it doesn't run on any machine I've tried it on. So
really?
I guess that makes it not cool.
Have you tried it on a desktop?
No, I haven't tried it. Only one of them. It didn't boot up. But
if it's any consolation, Link, I'm thinking about maybe getting a used Dell. The shame.
What's that have to do with Canonics?
I'm going to put Canonics on it.
That means he's going to end up installing Slackware on it because Canonics won't start up on a Dell for some reason.
The Dell that you got.
Hey, I got it running on a Dell Inspiron 1000 laptop and a Dell 2400 desktop. It's Canadian, though, eh? Different hardware.
It's Canadian. It's a Canadian.
Our hardware just wants to get along.
Mike, what kind of Dell do you have?
It's a Delladian.
What do you got, a Latitude what?
I got a Latitude CPI something something.
That's an old one. It's too high-end. Mine's like the $800 jobby.
It's a
There's
Win
There's no
laptop.
Moving parts in it. A Win laptop.
You're running Windows 2000, right?
Yeah. Windows 2000. You know what? No, really. Like, everybody comes out with these distributions that are, they're the greatest thing, and they run really great on... you know, everybody says, they run really great on slower, low-end systems and stuff like that.
Here?
Yeah. We're going to get cut off.
The only thing is, like, I install Slackware on low-end systems because it's so fast.
We got to cut off.
We
got
to cut off.
We got to say goodnight to Ben Rev.
Good night, Ben Rev.
Good night, Ben Rev.
Good night, Ben Rev.
Good night, Ben Rev.
Ben Rev is one of the streams we're on.
That sucks because that went half our audience right there.
Yeah, they're done.
They're like two sons of bitches.
They'll have to download the AUG afterwards.
I listened to that whole damn hour and a half, and now they finally get to talking about Linux.
Finally talking about Linux, and then some bitches shut the stream off.
They're finally talking about Linux. Maybe you can put the Linux portion of the show in the end of the AUG or something.
Well, that's what we do then, so that, you know, they have to download the AUG afterwards.
The AUG
makes our download statistics.
I know, it's brilliant.
The AUG is Dan being really creepy.
Yeah, right. We're either talking about Linux or Dan's being some kind of...
pervert.
Sadomasochistic pervert or something like that.
Is there another stream besides Ben Rev?
Yeah, we have the. There's a
Canadian
techie stream.
Four of them.
We
got a bunch of them. We're also in Australia.
Media.sysop.ca.
Right.
Yeah, we're in Australia live too.
But I don't know where the that one comes off. Or like if they're pulling that off of the LinuxLink.net stream, if they're pulling off of Ben Rev or what.
If they're pulling it off our stream, they would have had a hell of a time doing it tonight.
We're getting hammered.
Because I couldn't even get into our stream tonight.
Beat to death tonight.
We got a lot of people on tonight listening.
But,
I couldn't get in. I'm 6 feet from the server.
No, what I was saying was like they build all these distributions. They're supposed to run really great on low-end hardware, but they still don't run better on the low-end hardware than like Slackware does.
You know,
Debian or something like that that you can very easily customize,
man.
and it's you know, it's a trimmed down kind of distribution to begin with.
You know what's a nice distro, man? That's light. That's actually from Canada. Vector.
Vector is a good distribution.
Vector's fantastic, man.
Vector's based on Slackware.
Yeah, it's Slackware with Ice Windowmaker.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
There you go. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
Canada.
It's good stuff.
Vancouver.
Don't they have XFCE on it too?
Yeah, they do.
I think they do. Yeah.
The Ice Windowmaker, though, is real nice.
Good luck.
I tried contacting him, and he hasn't replied to us.
Just get Finglefin. He's a Vector
he
developer
is actually.
Now.
One of the guys from a look.
He'll tell you all his mad elite hacker skills, and then he'll dig a hole in your backyard and kick your ass.
Did he hack your server, Dave?
What?
Did he hack your server?
No, he's on my server. I let him use it. He does some stuff that... cause problems every
time.
She's, for instance, mirroring the internet.
I mean, he's really good. I mean, he's really skillful. Smart as hell.
Yeah, he's a smart kid.
That's what gets him in trouble, probably. So, anyway.
That's the way it is.
What's the Canadian connection?
What?
We love Canada, man.
No, was there some Canadian connection with the guy you were just talking about?
Vector. The guy from Vector.
Vector. Right, okay, yeah.
He's Canadian.
Oh, I see, okay.
Now, do you listen to Rant Radio?
No.
Whoa. That's out of Canada.
Is it?
Some
I don't
of
listen
it is.
To that.
Really?
There's a lot of shows that
don't Not all of it. There's a rantradio.canada with Newsreel.
He's,
what's his name?
Okay, you guys are just a wealth of information. Last week you told me about Sub 300. Now you're telling me about Vector Linux. That's great.
I mean, yeah. We know more about Canada than you do.
And yeah. Sub 500 in Canada, though.
Yes, Sub 500.
Yeah, that's right. Sub 500.
In America,
I don't know,
sub
300. Man. I didn't see a system on there for less than 1,000, so I don't know.
Really?
Sub 300.
Really?
I remember looking at the website when that first came out and hit the news. I looked at their website and they had laptops for, I think it was under $400.
Yeah, no more, man. 800, 900 now.
Wow. That kind of sucks.
No, here's sorry. Here's a desktop for $284.80, but I think the cheapest laptop is
1,000. Yeah, they've gone up the laptops.
But you can still get Linux on a laptop from Walmart.
Yeah, 500 American.
$500.
Not here. Not here. 1,002. There you go. That's a cheap laptop on sub 300.
That sucks, man.
You go to Walmart.com and they'll ship it to you.
Yeah,
$500 well, American.
People Evil Empire.
People
is that worth
Walmart,
it though?
Man?
Like five.
They gave $15 million to Katrina relief, man. That's pretty damn cool.
Then they
it's better than Sean Penn.
Who talked about that.
It's better than Sean Penn who put on a freaking flak jacket to go down there in a sinking boat.
I heard about that.
Have any of you guys seen Team America, you know, the puppet movie? From the
oh, man, that is my all-time favorite movie. I have a Team America sticker on my laptop. That's great. Wait, it's a terrorist on Buckalucka Avenue.
The Film Actors Guild?
Yeah, the fag.
It's funny shit.
Oh, man. That's the funniest movie I think I've ever
seen. I have not seen it yet.
It's funny, man.
I still haven't seen it yet either.
Oh, it's great. You gotta rent it. The puppet sex scene alone is worth
it. The extended puppet sex scene is something to behold.
Yes.
I was horrified with what they showed in the theaters. Never mind what made it onto the DVD.
Oh, man.
It's so funny, though.
It is. I agree.
I like how it starts off in the beginning, and they get, like, the crappy puppets, and people think, what the hell is this shit? And then
yeah.
They cut away.
I know. Another good one, too.
Oh, man. So, do we have any fond memories of the first 99 episodes?
Nope. They all sucked.
They all sucked.
There was
my fond memory is that
last week, and this guy came on. What was his name?
Was it John or something like that? That guy was a dick.
That was me.
Came on, talked, talked himself up, and then
kept talking about something about Canada, eh?
And community, and he was going on about
Canada, eh?
And then he didn't want to even reciprocate our show by putting
I know we posted
right. Wouldn't even put a link about our show on.
Hey, man, the link was on before the end of the show, man.
I give you credit, John. We were busting your balls,
and I was listening, so I know
busted,
you know.
We busted your balls, and you, man, you got that on there with some quickness, you know.
Well, didn't you threaten to fire what, Pat, across the border at me or something?
It's coming up with a pack meal.
That scared the hell out of me, man.
It's coming across
hopefully
the border.
Hopefully you anything you want, man.
Backpack full of porn.
Yeah. Yeah. From the lion's den.
From the lion's den.
Oh, man.
You do a great job, John. We really like your show, man. It's good.
Yeah, thanks, we like your show. We like having you come on here and stop by to say hello, and that makes our show
a
little bit more fun too.
Yeah, well, there's a definite dynamic with it's live and there's so many people. So it's even two people on a podcast, it's good. You got to have at least two, right? So there's something to bounce off each other. But there's some guys out there with just the one man podcast. And,
we won't say the
Kevin
name.
Bacon.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon.
Is that who we're talking about?
Hey, if it's Peckett's here. Too bad Droops is on, man. He would go off. Droops hates those guys.
I'm sorry, Kevin, man, but you are the driest motherfucker I've ever listened to in my life.
I think it's Adrian.
You know? Dude, it's Adrian Bacon. That's what it is.
Kevin Bacon's
there you go.
That's who it is. It shows how much I listen to it. You know, I fall asleep listening to that, man.
That podcast has taken a beating, man.
I suck.
No, I don't. I feel sorry that he has to have like 7 minutes of advertising.
What's, but that's part of the problem with it, man. Like, get out, crawl out from underneath that shit, you know?
You know what pissed me off about him, man? In the beginning, he was cool.
It was really cool in the beginning. Now it's just dry and...
Now, not only does he do the Linux
15
podcast,
minutes of the freaking tech whatever thing
does,
it is.
He does the Mac cast, and he does the Windows cast now.
I mean, holy Mac, really?
I mean, talk about hedging your freaking bets. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm kidding. You know what's interesting, man? When iTunes picked up all the podcast network shows, they picked up most of them. I don't know how many. Say 25 out of 35 or something like that. But conspicuously absent are the shows about another OS. None of the Microsoft shows. My show didn't make it. And there's some. But kind of telling,
Adam,
you know.
Adam Curry doesn't like you.
It's not Adam Curry. It's fucking Steve Jobs. He's the dick.
Adam Curry. Yeah. He came on. He said... dudes, guys, we got this. I got this OPML file. I want to include all these Linux shows, but the Canadian ones, nah. We can't do it.
That's it. And we're going to sell them the $300 laptops for $1,000.
So they didn't pick up any shows besides the Apple shows from the Tech Pod. No, wait, you're not Tech. You're a.
It's a podcast network.
Yeah, they didn't pick any of that from Podcast Network.
No, they picked up almost everything. Well, at the time, because, you know, that was, well, whenever iTunes 4.9 came out, so I don't know, a month ago or 6 weeks ago. At that time, they took the whole OPML feed, which was, at the time, maybe 30 shows or something like that, and they took them all, except for the Windows ones and the...
That's interesting, because, I don't know, I think we've been in iTunes since the beginning, and
yeah, we have.
We came over on Adam Curry's feed or whatever he had or something, didn't he?
Surprisingly, right, yeah. We're on it.
I have no doubt it depends how your feed is given to them.
Well, Dan, you hand code that feed, don't you?
No, I we do our
no, the, feed, no, the but, original the original one came in from the OPML file that we submitted like
months ago.
A year? No, it was like a year.
No,
ago
it was like
it
the one that
out.
I first submitted when they first started doing podcasting.
Yeah,
because remember, like we've been doing this show a hell of a lot longer than podcasting.
Is that the one we got
so.
From? What was it? No, wait. What was that? What was that? The podcast.net or something? Or podcast.org? What was the one? That's
the original one? The one that they did? That was the one that they did the iPod, iPodder.org.
Yeah. Then that went over. Yeah. Isn't that where they got it from?
That's where they got
the original OPML from. That's where I submitted us after
the one
they decided podcasting
iTunes.
Was a cool thing.
Dan, it wasn't the one who really did it here was Link. Link was on top of the whole podcast thing. In the very beginning, like none of us knew what the hell podcast was. It was Link. Link brought it up.
No, that was me.
It was Alan
told me that I should check this stuff out, and I went home and looked at the stuff and said, you know, shit, this really sucks because I can't get any of them because all the podcatching clients were broken for Linux. So I wrote one.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, after you write one, man, everybody and their brother is crawling up your ass for that kind of stuff, and you get all kinds of information. And it just, like, took off from that. And then we decided, you know, well, what we really need to do is jump on this and broadcast the Linux Link Tech Show that way because, you know, hey, what the hell, free publicity,
right? I mean, all it
right?
is archives.
If you got
it
anyhow, yeah.
And, it's just archives.
Yeah, exactly.
You provide a feed mechanism. You know?
Kind of went from there.
But, you got a little...
What are your guys'
Link got rubbed a little bit. I remember way back when they started the Founders page with Adam Curry.
Oh, yeah, that pissed me off.
He didn't even get listed, man.
We were like the fourth person listed or something like that over at the iPodder.org site, and they had their Founders page with like 57 people in it. You know? And it's like the good old boy network, you know what I mean?
It's not who you are.
It's not who you are or who you know. It's who you blow. Pretty much, that's what I think.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, what the hell was I going to say? Do. I don't know, man.
Dead air.
I got nothing.
It was starting off with, do you guys know?
Oh. I know what I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
You want to share?
No, it's my secret. what are your stats show? Like over the podcast network, the stats are showing that, I don't know, somewhere around 50% of people actually aren't using podcatchers at all, like iTunes or nothing. They're downloading direct off the website. Yeah. Did your guys' stats show that too? Or?
Or do you know?
Number one is Mozilla, no?
No. Number one is iTunes.
Number one is iTunes, yep.
Yeah, it is,
number
eh?
One is Hold on, I'll go bring it up.
Surprisingly enough, there's only a very few minuscule number that's from Wget, which is what I actually use in Bashpotter.
Right. I'm just curious, because it seems like that might be, podcatching might be one of the, you know, maybe geeks think is neat, but the average user doesn't want it. I don't know. Just curious.
You do bring up an interesting point, because I noticed that, too, that ever since iTunes came out, iTunes 4.9 has really taken the lead there. But you're right.
Right.
Third on our list for September is Mozilla. And then fifth is Microsoft Internet Explorer. And then, of course, you have iTunes on Windows, iTunes on Mac, first and second. And then fourth is iPodder. Right. So, I mean, yeah, aside from iTunes, it's the browsers that seem to be pulling more in.
Yeah, weird, eh? That's interesting. I don't know. It's neat to sometimes see new technology hit and then see what, you know, we thought people was going to do with it and doing what.
Went over their heads, man.
Go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to say, I don't really use a podcatcher because the directory structure is too much trouble. You know, I download it and then I got to hunt for them.
Right.
So, and for the five or six podcasts that I listen to, screw it. I just download them direct. I'm one of them.
See, that's what I think it is. Unreliable script ones.
Yeah, right. I think it was just
a, if only there was a solution for Linux.
Okay.
I'm giving you an opportunity to plug it. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, and there's a good one called Bashpotter.
Penguin TV.
Everybody sure already know that anyway. But no, I was going to say, I think what it was, it was just a good foray into people sharing their, you know, sharing their media and making things available, the whole podcatching thing. And the fact that you can download them off of a regular web page is probably, you know, the best alternative anyway, because they're always changing everything. Like the OPML standards are changing, the RSS standards are changing. You can't keep track of that stuff. Most of the clients don't work one way or another, including Bashpotter. You know, Bashpotter has a big problem with people who are not distributing their files as torrents. So, I mean, you get torrent file, but you have to still download the torrent afterwards, which is
one thing I hate about podcasting is I will never go to a podcast seminar or get together or anything like that, man.
This month, but maybe next month.
They're not collecting $300 off of me.
Yeah, really. Hey, Jeremy says Mozilla is his number one, and then iPodder, and then
Where is Jeremy? Can't connect?
No, I think there's a different Jeremy.
He's in IRC.
No, yeah.
Jeremy LQ.
Oh, well, it says Jeremy LQ.
Yeah. What did he can still connect if he wants to.
Jump in, man. Jeremy's a good guy.
La, 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 it's still open.
Well, I got to, you know, it's 10:20. I got to get going. I got to work tomorrow.
I wanted to say, you have brought about the community aspect of podcasting and everything. And, you know, it's been wonderful the past, year that we've been able to work with the BinRev and the community of BinRev. And it's a wonderful community. Because, I mean, Droops has been great in supporting all sorts of different things
in
the community.
Right.
And I've been on his, been on their chat under IRC. And just the people that are on there are like, you know, they're really supportive, really great. Everybody's doing their own thing. They got their own shows going on. And, you know, everybody's supporting each other's stuff. It's been a wonderful community. I don't understand why something like the Tech Podcast, is that it?
Yeah, Tech Podcast.
What is it? Is that the name? Tech Podcast Network or something like that?
Right. Wants to end up being so. I can understand they don't want any profanity, but it gets the impression that they want to close things off.
They do. They're making a good old boys network, an elitist sort of organization, which serves no better purpose than to, you know, than self promotion.
It's a big circle jerk.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to think of that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Jeremy's having trouble connecting to Asterix, so maybe we can, after we talk to John, maybe we can get him on Skype.
All right, I'll just finish up with Tech Podcast and then get off your bandwidth.
Not to cut you off.
No, I know. The Tech Podcast, though, everybody votes. Everybody in the network votes on whether new shows are allowed in.
Yes.
And they
and
also
very
have.
Anal.
I didn't know this. Yeah, apparently. I just talked to Robert Nelson, who runs the Are You a Geek podcast. I was just talking to him this evening before I was talking to you guys. And I didn't know this, but the advertising is all voluntary. Like,
right.
Tech Podcast Network signs deals, and then it's up to the individual shows whether they want to carry it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear all the ads piled in there, it's not necessarily Tech Podcast making them do it. You know what I mean?
So it's fluff on the part of the person doing the podcast.
Yeah, I guess the thing that really rubbed me
yeah.
the wrong way
yeah.
About that podcast network is
mm-hmm.
when we saw it and first, you know, gave a thought about actually joining this thing, because, you know, we're big supporters
mm-hmm.
of other tech shows. Big supporters.
Right,
if you
yep.
hit the linuxlink.net, look in the links section, man, mm-hmm. that, you know, all the good tech shows are listed there. So we're real big supporters.
Woo.
Yeah. And we thought, well, you know, that'd be a great way for us to show our support for some other shows. We could join this little network thing. And then they, like, wanted to grill us about our content and interview us. And I guess I was, you know, and they were voting on us as to, you know, whether we were doing things right. And I was thinking to myself, like, what the hell are you doing telling us whether we're doing things? We've been doing this, like, longer than any other tech podcast.
I don't kidding.
You know, except for, well, I didn't even know if, like, Evil Genius Chronicles or who else was out before us that was doing any kind of technical content.
The Linux Show's the only one that I can think of.
But that wasn't a podcast.
Yeah,
but, you know, like, we were right up there in the beginning, mm-hmm. and then I just kind of, personally, I felt kind of offended that they were, like, reviewing what we were doing in order to
yeah,
fit in with a tech
ground,
podcast
yeah.
network when we already had one started, you know, and we were supporting... You know, we were supporting a bunch of tech podcasts and tech shows ourselves off of our own site. But
whatever, man. It's like, you know, whatever floats your boat.
I hear you, man.
We'll do our thing. You do yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think you need what they're given, which is, I mean, the advantage is, you know, you get traffic, right? So, but, you know, you guys have been doing this long enough that you got your own listenership. So.
Yeah, we get traffic anyway. A little bit here, a little bit there.
We do okay, yeah. All right, I'm going to bail and let you see if you can get Jeremy on.
Thanks, Sean.
All right.
Take care.
Have a great one.
Thank you. Happy 100th show again.
Hey,
thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, John, right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Good night, John boy.
You bet. Good night, Link boy.
I guess we're going to go to Skype, talk to Jeremy real quick.
Yeah, let's... Should I do Skype or see?
No, my ass is hurt, man. I got
to don't look at me, man.
Look at Alan.
Look at Alan with a smile on his face.
So Alan is the podcast.
Tastes so good. It hurts, but it feels
Dan's got
right.
these like wooden chairs, man, that he straps you down
that are
to
actually
in here.
Painful.
You know, if
after
you've been
2 hours,
tech, yeah,
they're extremely painful.
After you've been doing tech for a long time, you end up having that sysadmin's ass, which means like you don't have one. It's just
flat.
A tailbone with some skin on it.
Hey, you know, people
and
are
that's
asking
what I have.
To Matthew Bischoff. He is online. We could call
that's
him.
That's what I have. And
let's talk to Jeremy.
That hardwood
first.
Chair for a long
oh, wait,
time.
You
man.
Don't want
to? We can talk to
I'll
Matt, but let's talk to Jeremy first.
I could get a bruise on my ass.
Who are we talking to?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Jeremy, I suppose?
Who are we talking to? Anybody? Yeah, Link needs an old ring. Go for it. I mean, one of them lifesavers to sit on there.
In Jeremy the Wicked.
Taking donations.
Man, I got Skype. I got the X10. I got the.
What?
Kill X10, man. There's nobody else on X10.
How about we wrap it up, man?
Well, I want to make
yeah,
sure
really,
that Jeremy
got to get up at 4:30.
Like, I got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So.
Let's talk to Jeremy real quick.
I wish somebody would let the damn dog in from outside. He's going nuts for like the past.
Dan, confess, you beat the dog.
Well, sometimes that dog needs a beating. But I would never do that. I beat
you.
Link. Beat Link, do you beat your hot dog?
No.
You got a dash on?
I only beat your hot dog.
Link, you got a dash on?
No.
No. You got the...
No, lab? I have a pit bull.
You got a lab mix, don't you?
I have a pit bull.
Oh, pit bull Jeremy lab. Said...
Oh, he's going to catch us.
Goodbye, cruel asterisk. I'm leaving you.
Esther's worked okay. If you took like 5 minutes,
do you want to Skype?
That was pretty good. If we had more
Should we Skype Matt quickly?
Why not? Make it quick.
What, Skype Matt quickly?
Yeah, real quick.
See what he says. Ooh, look, his eye.
He looks like Christopher from The Sopranos in that picture.
It's an eyeball. It's ringing.
No guarantee that this will actually work.
Gorgon says, ask Matt if he's running Linux yet.
It's ringing. Is it ringing? I don't hear it ringing.
It is. It's ringing.
The person you're trying to reach is not available. Please leave a message after the beep.
Not only is he not... You're a bad boy, Matt. You're not running Linux. There. There's his voicemail. He's got the Windows version with that little, you know, Skype answer machine thingy going on there. It's not good.
It's the Linux League Tech Show, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. Well, you call now.
Is anybody actually in here?
Hello?
Nah.
Nobody's in the conference room.
Nobody's here.
Hey, I'm right here, man.
Oh, you're on.
Cool, because I thought you were still on. I didn't want to leave you, because I know you had to leave and do some other things there for a while.
Well, I'm back. Are y'all still doing the show?
Yeah.
It's still going.
This is the Og file.
It's actually the episode.
Hell yeah.
Too.
Troops, man, you rock.
Well, thank you there, buddy.
I dig your show, man. You're funny as shit.
We're going to send Pat down there to give you the massage of your life.
I'll come down south, man.
Happy ending.
I've heard about that Southern hospitality.
Well, y'all come on down. I mean, really, anybody that wants to come is welcome to stay.
That's just what we need, a pack of fat, air-conditioned-needing geeks down in Mississippi with no power, right?
We'll bring a generator.
Hey, I have air conditioning in my home, okay?
All right.
Now, what would the missus say to that?
What's that?
What would the missus say to that?
I asked her before I came on the show, and she said it was fine, as long as they cleaned up after themselves.
Wow. That's nice.
That's cool. Bet you only do it once.
So, Troops, man, you missed out on the tech podcast bashing.
Well, I've bashed them enough. I mean, we all know they're jackasses.
I saw your post on their forum. Your post was like one of three.
It's a very active forum. It's an active forum. They're really into it.
It's almost as active as another show's website.
Man. So you're running Slackware down there, right?
I have a computer with Slackware on it, yes.
Yay. All right. That's what we like to hear.
But not the truck computer.
No, the truck computer is going to be running some Debian.
It's Debian, man.
Debian.
No, I thought the truck computer that you have for the GPS system and everything is that's running XP, isn't it?
I'm trying to find a different GPS solution.
Uh-huh.
The best mapping stuff is always for Windows, because maps cost money.
Right.
So I think I'm just going to run like, VMware or something, just so I can run the mapping stuff.
Oh, you could do that right through Wine, man, can't you?
I don't know, will Wine run map with Streets and Trips, that's what it's called.
If you tweak it a lot, maybe.
I actually got DVD shrink to run in Wine.
Did you ever use Wine?
I have. Just played around with it. I use VMware usually just because it's a lot easier. But I bought a big sticker at DEF CON that, you know, Linux Inside or something like that. And I really want to put it on my truck.
How was DEF CON?
It was a lot of fun. It was really, really crowded and hot.
It's probably better than those freaking podcast conferences that are going around now.
Well, actually, the podcast conferences are a really, really good idea because they're all about how to make money for your podcast. And pretty much you have a convention and you charge like $500 a pop. And then people come to it and pay you money and then you make money. And that's a really good idea for those people.
It's like a fucking pyramid scheme.
Yeah, it's like fools and their money are soon parted, and the fuck I'm paying for a podcast convention. I don't know, it's just greedy little fucks.
You won't catch me at one of them.
Yeah, I see Droops with his hand out all the time, too. Looking for that chicken.
Yeah, I'm always begging for money, y'all.
That's it.
I'm like, here's some free hosting, and you don't have to pay me for it.
And then the bill comes a little later.
We'll work for bandwidth.
He shows up at your doorstep. Oh, wait, that's Lake. Sorry.
So when am I going to catch y'all at a convention? Are y'all going to go to ShmooCon next year? That's up near your area.
I think the only ones we're really definite so far is the Linux Expo in Boston.
You know what the problem is? It's called the family. That's the problem that we end up having.
You got kids. So,
yeah, I bring my wife with me. It's the money that's the factor right now.
Yes.
Well, that would be our problem, too.
You don't have any kids yet, do you?
I have 4 dogs.
Not the same.
We take them with us. We just got back from the Smoky Mountains. We took our dogs.
All 4? What kind of dogs do you have?
A miniature poodle, an 80-pound basset hound, and then 2, like, 60-pound mutts we found and cured.
An 80-pound basset hound?
She's a big girl.
Holy crap. What do you feed the thing? Poodles? Is that why you only have 1 poodle?
Yeah, we used to have 7 poodles. And
that's how the basset hound got to be.
I can't stand poodles.
I can't stand them either. Like, I really hate this dog.
I don't know, man.
It's obviously not mine.
I love dogs. If I do get a dog, it's probably going to be like a hunting dog, like a lab or a German short-haired pointer or something.
Wait, you hate the poodle or the basset hound?
The poodle.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, how could you hate a basset hound?
Now, the basset hound's a really good dog.
It's just 80 pounds of skin right there. You can't hate that. You can't hate that.
Does the poodle piss and shit all over the house?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Oh. I told you it's a little dog thing.
They're actually pretty smart poodles. Very temperamental.
I was told I couldn't have my dog in the house because my dog sheds, but my dog's very house-trained and doesn't get on the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather sit in some dog hair than, like, some piss.
Yeah.
Cat piss?
I'm right there with you, man. I'll tell you.
It's nothing like...
Dog hair just, like, vacuums up and, like, piss just seeps into the wooden floor.
It's nothing like, you know, trying to snuggle up in a blanket on a cool night and all of a sudden you get that whiff of, like, whoa! Is it a cat or a kid? Or the dog that had an accident? You feel something chunky in the bed with you?
The last time my dog pissed in the house was several years ago. My brother came up to visit me at college, and we didn't take the dog out for like a day and a half. And the dog was whining, but we were just drunk the whole time. And finally, he pissed in the shower. And my brother rolled over and woke me up. He said, "Droop, your dog's pissing in the house." And I looked, and I was like, "He's just peeing in the shower." And we're both like, "That's a good dog."
That's a damn good dog right there.
Oh, man. I remember when I was living at home, my mother got a goddamn Shih Tzu. That thing shit all over the place, man. I remember waking up one morning, man, like I was like hungover. I stepped out of like the doorway, and I stepped in a big pile of crap.
Ooh, bee dip.
It was still warm.
Oh, man.
Who's this?
That thing shit all over the place. Who the heck was that?
Who was that?
Nobody knew.
You still there, Droops?
I'm here, buddy.
Who the hell was that?
Somebody jumped in and jumped out.
It's probably that John guy.
Are you looking at the IRC chat?
What's that?
You looking at the IRC chat, Drew?
I'm looking right this second.
You see up about 20 lines up where they're talking about Kelly Penguin Girl really digging your accent?
Was she?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You got to check out what John said.
You're going to have to send a picture of your wife to make it an even swap.
Who was Kelly Penguin Girl? I missed out on that.
It's John's wife.
John's wife.
Okay.
You never heard of the GNU Linux user show? Maybe? No?
No.
Yeah, well, they do a podcast. Well, see,
all the good shows are on hackermedia.org.
The best.
And if it's not there, I really don't listen to it.
This is a good one now.
Hey, when it's tech, it's there.
Guys do it up in Canada. Good show. Pretty new. That's why it's not on your stuff yet, because it's pretty new. So, Alan's packing up.
Good night, Alan.
Good night, Alan.
Oh, all these people.
Good night, Alan.
I gotta go.
Hey, man, this is episode 100, man. Let's milk it for all it's worth.
100. Well, I'm
hey, did y'all drink a big beer?
Oh, yeah.
We had
two big beers.
We actually had a couple good ones, man. We had this Belgian stuff called, let's see.
Pat's Anus.
San Frulen Triple Monk Ale. And then we had a local Pennsylvania beer, Weyerbacher Heresy, which was a nice stout aged in oak barrels.
Well, I live in a dry county, and I didn't have any beer at the house. And I just happened to have to go help a friend today, and we stopped at the gas station. I found a big Heineken.
Found a big Heine at the gas station.
That
what?
Doesn't make any sense. Dry Mississippi, county? A dry county in Mississippi? That doesn't make any sense.
It's the Bible Belt, and they're very restricting on what other people do here for some reason.
I don't know, man. I'm Catholic, man. Freaking priest of the biggest drinkers I know of.
I'm Catholic, or I was when I grew up. And I lived in South Louisiana where there's lots of drinking and the wine flows like the Mississippi.
Seriously, man. All
right. See you, Alan.
You know, the wine, man, it's like it's half the deal, you know?
So I have a very large wine collection and usually I have a lot of beer at the house, but I don't know what happens to my beer. It just disappears.
Oh, we listen to the show, so we know what happens to it.
Yeah.
I mean, three you don't guesses. Think of Mississippi as being a dry county.
Not at all, man.
I mean, you think of Mississippi.
They got all those kick-ass college football games down there, man. What the hell do they do at a tailgate? Eat barbecue and drink
yeah.
beer?
More a lot of crazy rednecks and stuff going on. I think it goes hand in hand.
Well, like, the whole state's not dry. You just can't buy liquor and beer at the same store, which is kind of odd.
No, that's called so Pennsylvania.
That's Pennsylvania. Yeah.
But, I don't know, like where I grew up, you could buy whiskey on Sunday morning before church if you wanted it.
At church.
But, what? No, before church.
Well, he's from Louisiana originally.
Yeah. We could, we had real wine in church.
Yeah, we did.
I wonder what they do here at the Catholic Church.
They do here.
Now, see, in Pennsylvania, you can't buy beer in a grocery store or convenience store. You
or
can't
a liquor
buy
store.
Wine in a grocery store or convenience store. Oh, yeah, or a liquor.
You got to go to a beer distributor.
Yeah, to buy wine, you have to go to a liquor store.
Yep.
Or what's called a state store.
And
to buy beer you have to go to
a
distributor.
The thing that pissed me off about Pennsylvania the most when I moved here, I'm originally from New York City, is that you go into the beer distributor, you have to buy a case of whatever they're selling. I mean, I love beer, but I don't want a case sometimes. Sometimes I just want a six or something, you know?
I just remember what it was like in New York. You know, in New York, you wanted a beer, you went to the gas station and picked one up. And that was that.
Go to a convenience store, you get a six, whatever.
Yeah. Walmart, you get like beer and wine in Walmart, New York. You know.
Stewart's.
Yeah. Walmart's actually trying to sell more liquor. Like, that's their new priority. Because there's a lot of money to be made on it.
That's only down south, though, right now, right?
I don't know.
Well, they do
like,
a pretty good
Arkansas
job in New York
dry.
With it, I'll tell you.
They don't have liquor in the Walmarts up there.
Really?
You can't in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has to be a state store.
Yeah. Pennsylvania's funny. Jersey, I don't think the Walmarts have liquor in them either.
In Louisiana, they have these drive-through daiquiri shops where you go through, the driver goes through by themselves and gets a daiquiri.
You're kidding me.
It's the coolest thing.
Do they have, like,
it's like
cops
going to a snow cone place.
Do they have cops posted out at the back door or something like that?
As long as the paper is still on the straw, it's not an open container.
Oh,
so you get two straws when you purchase it. You drink out of one straw and you keep the other straw in case you get pulled over.
Oh, man.
Drive through liquor stores.
That's insane.
It's like, crazy. Here's your drink prepared for you.
Well, they won't be having Mardi Gras anytime soon, unfortunately.
What's the point?
And that's a big shame.
Yeah, it is. How do you get away with that? I mean, come on. Who are you fooling?
It's because everybody drinks, man.
Drive-through liquor store?
Place. Yeah.
There's one in Ruston, Louisiana. And right down the street from that, somebody opened up a pornography and adult toy store. And he had to close it down and had to pay a fine for moral turpitude because he had all this pornography. But then right down the street, you can just drive through and get a daiquiri.
Man. You know, it's like you said, you can't buy certain video games at Walmart, but they'll sell you the liquor now.
But at least you can buy some ammo.
The liquor and the ammo, but not the video
games. I'm a gun owner, man. I like to go out and kill things sometimes.
I have three guns in this room. Yeah.
Pennsylvania's a big gun state.
Yeah, so is Mississippi. We still have gun racks in our trucks.
Yeah, you don't see that as much. Hey,
but you know what? I bet you don't have a lot of carjackings, huh? There's something to be said for having a gun rack in the back of your vehicle. Yeah. You know?
Point in the goddamn face if they come up to you.
In Louisiana, not that I live there anymore, but your vehicle is your home, and you're allowed to do anything in your vehicle that you can do in your home.
Right.
So if you want to have a loaded gun and just twirl it around, you can do that because you can. That's legal in your house.
Mm-hmm. And they don't go quite that far over here. That's considered
in Mississippi. I think you have to be like six steps away. Like you have to put the clip in the gun and cock it and get it out of the glove compartment.
That's considered harassment here. You know, and intimidation.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, you have to have your ammo and your gun locked up in different compartments of your car.
But don't you have to have it sitting out on the back seat with the, if it's a rifle, the bolt open?
You got to keep the action open, you got to keep the ammo on a separate.
Unless it's a handgun, you got to keep the clip.
And they trick you out sometimes. Like, if I go hunting, I go to the state lands, they have, like, these spots where you can pull in and you hike in. Occasionally, you'll see a ranger there, you know, and he'll check you sometimes.
You know, that's fucking ridiculous.
Pinko commie fuckers. Damn it.
Like, most guns that are used, like, to kill somebody are either done, like, intentionally, and if they didn't have a gun, they'd use something else, like a knife or a pitchfork or something.
Like,
gun accidents are usually not people being safe. Like, it's some drunk redneck hunter
some
kid that was not taught about a gun, and he finds it in his dad's bedroom, and he plays with it. That's the kid that shoots himself. The kid that his dad takes him shooting
when he's 8 years
old, teaches him about guns, they don't fuck around with a gun. Yep. They use it normally.
You're absolutely right, man. Yep. My dad was a cop, and he took us out shooting when I was like 6 years old.
Yep. And there are a whole lot less, gun-related violent acts created by people who have taken a hunter, who have purchased a handgun legally and taken a hunter safety course, than there are by someone who has bought one on a street corner somewhere. You know.
Most hunting accidents happen because guys are up in tree stands and they fall asleep, and then either they fall out.
Oh yeah, they drop their gun.
They drop their gun or they fall out and they freaking break their goddamn necks when they fall out.
Amazing.
Do y'all have to register your guns up there?
Not in Pennsylvania.
Handguns.
Handguns you do. In New York and Jersey, they're really nuts. Well, New York
down here, the dealer has to keep a record of the gun that he sold.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of really convenient fires that destroy all their records.
Listen, I personally don't have a problem with people owning guns as long as they're like decent, honest, you know, non-criminal, you know? It's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Dan, do you have guns?
Well, the second they make a gun illegal, then only the people that are bad are going to have them.
Exactly.
Have you gone hunting?
No, I never gone hunting.
Hey, Dan, come visit us. We'll take you hunting, dude.
I like to do well. You know what I want to do if I go down south, man? I want to do wild boar hunting.
Pig shooting?
Oh, yeah.
Somehow I just got this whole, hey, Dan, come down, we'll take you hunting thing. I just conjured up this really bad picture of Deliverance, you know?
You sure got a birdie mouth.
Feel like a pig, Danny boy.
Well, hey, let's move the show back over to some tech for a second.
All right.
Y'all watched my redneck video, right? Any of y'all?
Yes.
That laptop actually was a hard drive for a Commodore 64 at one time.
Yeah.
And it's a Pentium 90. It's just a beast. And as of yesterday, it is running Linux.
That's cool. Awesome, man.
No CD drive. Had to pull the drive out and install it and then pop it back in.
That's awesome.
You know what's ridiculous, man, is people that still have Amigas and they're still waiting for the new version of the Amiga operating system to come out.
Hey, I'm still waiting.
I have a
museum. I loved Amiga, man, in the day, you know, but I knew when to move on, you know.
I have a museum at the house of computers throughout time.
That's Link's house.
And
me too.
And my wife fortunately gave me one room in the house that I could nerd out in. And I've got my little museum in there. I had to build more shelves.
Woof. Somebody's here.
What? He just dropped off.
He probably is answering his phone. Listen, guys.
Oh, no, I'm here.
I have got to get going.
We're going to wrap it up. Troops, we're definitely going to talk to you again.
Hey, I want to be on my show sometime.
That's cool.
Sure.
Dan's going to film his daughter installing Ubuntu on a desktop. I'm going to hang up on you. Call me in like
10 minutes. Possibly for Infonomicon TV, if it's any good.
Well, we don't really have high stringent guidelines. All you have to do is cuss and not be in the Tech Podcast Network, and we'll include you.
Well, Dan will see if the cussing
we
for after his daughter's on.
We probably can handle that.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, Troops.
Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, congratulations on y'all's 100th episode.
You're the man.
Thank you. And
we just had our 50th this week, so we're catching up.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you're doing a fantastic job over there.
Yes, you are.
And, I'll probably talk to you throughout the week sometime.
Sounds good. Y'all have fun.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you on again soon.
Bye-bye.
Later.
All right, bye. We got to pack this thing up.
Yeah,
man.
We got to pack it in.
2 hours and 15 minutes. Not the longest
guys.
Episode. It's getting there.
It's pretty close.
Should I play the music to go out?
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about
good night, everybody,
and
thanks for listening to our 100th episode of the Linux League Show.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women. That is good.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.